Our lesson today begins in the 20th chapter of the book of the Acts. Last week, we left off speaking about Eutychus, a young man that was sitting in the window and fell down in deep sleep and was dead when he landed on the ground. And how that Paul immediately ran down to him and fell upon him, and while he laid upon him, he must have been praying unto God that God would restore life back into this young man. We have in the Old Testament two prophets, Elijah and Elisha, who likewise fell upon two young men and restored them back to life. Elijah, he helped the widow's son with whom he stayed at Zarephath, and Elisha, he raised up the Shunammite's son and brought him back to life instrumentally by God. Likewise, Paul here, he gave this miracle to be performed by the help of God, and this young man was restored and found no hurt in him. We spoke to you about this young man sleeping in the window of this loft in which Paul was preaching. He had preached till midnight, and this young man had fallen asleep. I said last week we would censure Paul because he had such a long sermon, but the people to whom he was speaking were very anxious to hear what he had to say to them. But this young man, he fell asleep, and see what happened to him while he was in such deep sleep. He slipped, he fell, and that was the end of his life. Had it not been that Paul had run down to him and performed this miracle, he would have entered into eternity. I was thinking, what would you or I have done had we been in the position of Paul, and someone was sleeping to whom we were speaking to, and that person fell as this young man did? I said to myself, I probably would have said, it serves him right. He should have not been sleeping under the truth. Probably you would too. We must censure each and every individual that sleeps under the truth. So many people make a practice when they come under the ministry and under the sermons to set themselves in a good position, and soon they are sound asleep. We are all subject to weakness in this respect. Probably there isn't one of us here that has not at one time or other felt sleepy, felt drowsy while we were under the truth, especially when the discourse or the lesson isn't very interesting and the teacher has not too much talent to keep his hearers attentive, then this happens very often. This is a great sin, my hearers. We should pray constantly that God may keep us from falling into this sin. The Lord Jesus, he speaks to us in his gospel that we should be continually on the watch, for we know not what hour or what moment the Son of Man shall come. We know not whether he will come in the evening or at midnight or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. But one thing I say unto you, he says, watch, that when the master of the house is arisen, that ye may not be found sleeping. May I, as an instrument in his hands, speak to you, my hearers. May you be on the alert, watchful, under the teaching and under the preaching of God's precious word. What would it be if the Lord Jesus should suddenly take your life away while you were sleeping under the immediate hearing of the precious gospel? What an awful thing it would be with the gospel sounding in your ears to be sent to hell below. Now, this young man was fortunate. His life was restored. But there are no Pauls on earth at the present time, and no miracles like this are being performed, my hearers. So be careful, be watchful, when you are assembled to listen to the word of God. Now, this man, Paul, he traveled by foot, he traveled by boat. And we find him traveling towards Jerusalem. And on his journey, he stops in a place called Miletus. He had purposed not to go to Ephesus, this place where he had been for 3 years. For he hasted to be at Jerusalem at the feast of the Pentecost. While he was in Miletus, he sent for the elders of the church of Ephesus. And when they came unto him, he spoke unto them most affecting words. This sermon, this charge that he gave these Ephesian elders is one of the most affecting chapters in the Bible. He commences to speak to them that they knew how he had been with them when he first came into Asia, and how that he had labored amongst them, that he, in all humility of mind, had served the Lord with many tears and with many temptations which befell him from the Jews. To serve the Lord in all humility is a characteristic of each Christian that lives here below. Humility is a wonderful grace. It lays us low in our own estimation. It gives unto us confidence and trust, and also reveals that we have in us a purpose to abide by the divine will of God. Paul served these people in all humility of mind, with many tears, going from house to house, speaking unto the people, teaching them a repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever a door was opened for him, he entered in and reasoned with the people, teaching them the necessity of true repentance, and likewise the necessity of believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this man, Paul, we marvel at the zeal and at the love that he had for the souls of sinners. In Ephesus, there were so many creatures who worshipped so many idols. And Paul, seeing sinners going on in their sins and so many people bowing before gods that were no gods, his heart was affected thereby. He would speak, he would plead with the people to turn back to the true God, and he would instruct them in the manner in which God labored in the hearts of sinners. He labored then extensively in Ephesus, and he was loved by these people who had been blessed under his ministry, and especially these elders who came down to him to this place, a seaport in Asia Minor. And now he's speaking to them that they would see his face no more. He commended it unto God and to the word of his grace, which was able to build them up and to give them an inheritance in all those that are sanctified. And Paul, speaking unto these elders, gave them a charge that they should watch over the flock, over the church of God, which God had made them overseers over. And that after his departure, the wolves would come in and scatter the flock, and that even from among themselves would stand up men who would try to turn some of the disciples away from the church. Paul then knew to a certain extent what would take place after he had left this church at Ephesus. He likewise spake that he was going up bound to Jerusalem. He knew not what should befall him there, but the Spirit of God witnessed in every city where he came that bonds and affliction awaited him at Jerusalem. But none of these things move me, he says, that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry that the Lord Jesus Christ hath given unto me. And we find in this, my hearers, he is an example of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of Luke, in the 9th chapter, we read of Jesus Christ, when the time was come that he should be taken up, then he set his face steadfastly to go forward to Jerusalem. My hearers, when we make a journey, it makes a great difference sometimes what is going on in us when we have to make this journey. Sometimes we are happy, sometimes we are sad. I am sure most of you people have made a journey in your life, and there has been times probably that you were called to someone that was very sick, a relative of yours, maybe your wife, maybe your child, maybe your husband. And they were at the point of death, and you were called to make a journey to be at their bedside, for you knew not whether they would survive or not. Oh, when we have to make a journey like this, then our thoughts are very troubled. It isn't with pleasure that we make such a journey. Sometimes we have to make a journey from one country to another. Many of our parents have left Holland and come to this country, which was something great in their lives. They knew not what would be in this country for them, but they went. Many of them have been blessed and they have had it very prosperous, but wherever we may be, troubles befall us, sicknesses, Sometimes a member of the family is taken away by death. These things happen continuously in the world. It may be that some of my young men have been in service of the country, or when you were called upon to enter into the service, I never entered into it, but I could imagine a little what thoughts were going on in your minds, especially if we were at war. Would I return? Would God spare me? What will happen to me? For those aren't very pleasant things to experience in life. Then again, when you have been spared and the time comes that you are given to return back home, and the day comes that you're going back home again, all the feelings that you have, home, all to be brought safely home again to meet all your friends and your relatives and parents. Oh, what a blessing, and how happy you are to be going home. Paul, my hearers, he's going up to Jerusalem. What had he to look forward to? He had something to look forward to. He was going to meet the apostles there, and he was going to tell them how God had blessed his ministry amongst the Gentiles. All he could recount to these apostles of the wonders of God's mercies shown in the Gentile world. But wherever he went, it was prophesied by the disciples that bonds and affliction awaited him. He didn't have anything very good to look forward to going up to Jerusalem. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when he set his face steadfastly to go up to Jerusalem, did he know what was going to take place? Most certainly. He was God and man. He knew what was going to befall him in Jerusalem. But he set his face steadfastly to go. So likewise did Paul. None of these things move me, he said. And we may apply that to Christ. None of these things move me, that I may finish the work that the Father has given me to do. He had come into this world for the express purpose of giving himself as a sacrifice for sinners. And when the time came that he would have to offer up himself, did he turn back? Did he leave and say, oh, I won't go up to Jerusalem. I know what's going to befall me. No. He was filled with love and affection towards his people. Whom he loves unto the end. Likewise, Paul, he was filled with love and affection to the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to sinners, and especially to his own countrymen, to the Jewish people. All he desired to go up to Jerusalem, to speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he may yet win some of his countrymen to believe in this precious Christ. And nothing moved him, nothing deterred him. And now he is saying goodbye to these elders that came down to Miletus. And when he had given them this charge to beware the flock, and to keep them, and to protect them, and to teach them, he had set them an example. He had been amongst them for 3 years, and if they would watch over the flock as he had given them an example, then it would be well with them. And after he had given them this charge, they kneeled down on the shore and he offered up prayer. He had said to them that they would never see his face anymore, and all this had affected them very deeply. They loved this man, Paul, and when he kneeled down with them, he offered up prayer that he who was going to lead them, that they would be put into the care of God, and that he would protect the church, and especially these elders who were the leaders of the church. And they were so affected when he was praying that they were all weeping and crying. Can't you picture this? He was a man of God, a servant whom they loved, who had said they would never see his face anymore. And oh, when he prayed with them, this was the last time that they would hear him pray, the last time that they would see him. And oh, they were so affected, they fell on his shoulders, and they embraced him, and they kissed him, and they loved this servant of God so much. And in the first verse of the next chapter, they actually had to be torn apart, for they could not leave him. When we were put forth from them, it says, actually, they had to be separated. So united were they, and so did they feel the love and affection for this servant of God. And finally, Paul goes on the boat, and these people are waving at him until they could see him no more. And they return back to Ephesus, and we find Paul touching at several places, and he comes to Tyrus. In this city in Tyrus, there was a church there, and he abode there 7 days. And while he was in this place, we find that these disciples witnessed unto him that if he went up to Jerusalem, he most certainly would be bound and would be afflicted. But this did not deter Paul from going up to Jerusalem. We find that when these 7 days would come to an end, they likewise went down to the shore. And they brought with them their wives and their children. And he knelt down again with them and prayed. Oh, what a blessing it is when we teach our children reverence for the people of God and for the servants of God. These people, they brought their children along. And Paul, after saying goodbye to them, left them and came with a straight course to Caesarea. Here in Caesarea, there was Philip, the evangelist, the deacon of whom we had a story concerning the Ethiopian that came up from Ethiopia to worship God in Jerusalem and was on his way back. This man, Philip, he was an evangelist, but he also was a deacon chosen by the apostles right after the day of Pentecost. But he continued being evangelist, and he had 4 daughters who prophesied. They were gifted then with the spirit of prophecy. And they were born again, these daughters of his. Have you got a daughter? Have you got a son that you could say that of? How few, if any, amongst us have daughters or sons that we can say the Spirit of God is in them? This man had 4 daughters, and they probably prophesied to Paul likewise that if he went up to Jerusalem, then he would be bound and he would be afflicted. And now while he was in Caesarea, there came down to Caesarea a prophet by the name of Agabus. And this man had prophesied of a great famine which came upon all the country round about. And he made a special trip from Jerusalem down to Caesarea to tell Paul what the Holy Ghost had revealed unto him. And he was very dramatic in doing so. As some of the prophets were under the Old Testament, you remember there was a prophet who took a yoke off Jeremiah's neck and broke it in the front of them and said that so the yoke of the Babylonian people would be broken from off the neck of the Israelites, which was not true. But this prophet prophesied the truth. He came and he took Paul's girdle and he bound his own hands and his own feet with the girdle in the front of all the people and said, so says the Holy Ghost, the man whose girdle this is shall so be bound in Jerusalem by the Jews. Aren't you wondering why Paul didn't turn around and go back? So many people witnessed to him. So many prophets prophesied to him. What would you do? Wouldn't you think, well, that's the voice of God to me. I shouldn't go up to Jerusalem. It was not the voice of God to Paul. None of those prophets said unto him, God says you should not go up to Jerusalem. They only told him what was going to befall him when he came there. He had inwardly, probably from God himself, by the Spirit, that he should go up to Jerusalem. And all these things did not turn Paul away from going up to Jerusalem. When this prophet came into this house where these four daughters were, and Philip and Timothy and Luke and others that had accompanied him from Asia, they all began to cry and they began to weep. And they began to plead with Paul, Paul, please, don't go up to Jerusalem. We need you, Paul. You are such a wonderful man for the church of God. Oh, if they take you prisoner and kill you. Oh, what a loss it will be to the church. Paul, please don't go. So these people, Timothy, Luke, as we read in this chapter, pleaded with Paul not to go. And what did Paul say? Paul says, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? I am ready, he says, not only to be bound, but to die at Jerusalem for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, my hearers, I envy the love that this man had in his soul for Jesus Christ and him crucified. It was as if he said to these people, the Lord Jesus Christ loved me and he gave himself for me. I couldn't give any more than myself. He gave himself for me. I'm going to give myself for him. This is the way I love the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, he did not want to be turned back from his purpose and from what was going on in his heart. For it was the will of God that he should go up to Jerusalem. And my hearers, I think that this spirit of Paul and this love that this man had is so far gone in our times. Oh, I am jealous of this love, but it is with me probably as it is with some of those that are listening to me. Do I love the Lord Jesus Christ or no? Am I his or am I not? Paul was firmly assured of his love to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is something that we lack. This blessed assurance that Jesus is ours, or that he loved us, that he gave himself for us. Oh, Paul, he had this burning in him. Oh, he would give everything he had for his Savior, for his Jesus. And when they seen that he could not be deterred, they said, "Let the will of the Lord be done." And then they went up to Jerusalem. And when they came to Jerusalem, we find Paul going into the disciples and to the apostles and telling them of his ministry and the blessings of God upon it. And they glorified God when they heard what this man had to tell them. Oh, what a wonderful time that must have been for these apostles and Paul. Oh, what love and affection there must have been in the hearts of these men towards each other when they began to talk about what God had done. Have you ever had any of that? Have you ever been given to speak about what God has done in your heart? What he has done in your soul? If you have, and others who you are speaking to may speak of what they have experienced, and then it seems at times that the fire of the Lord comes down and kindles the souls of his people, and they are so united together in love and in affection, then they feel the bonds that God has laid. And now we find these apostles speaking unto Paul and directing him to go into the temple, because they said so many Jews in Jerusalem have such a different idea of what thou hast taught these heathens. They think that you have taught them that they should forget all about the law of Moses, and that they should just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and worship God by him. "Listen," they said to Paul, "we got four men that have a vow upon them. You go with them men and go into the temple. And when the days of the purifying are past, then these Jews will see that you also observe the law and obey it as Moses has given it unto us." Now Paul, he had been teaching the heathens, the Gentiles, that the law of Moses was that which taught them that they were sinners, but that they had no need anymore to observe all those ceremonial rites which the Jewish people still observed even in Jerusalem. And now these Jews from Asia, they had come up likewise to Jerusalem to observe the day of Pentecost. And when they seen Paul in the temple, then they thought, "We have a good opportunity now. Now we'll get this man, Paul." They had been the ones that had caused so many uproars and had caused so much trouble for Paul throughout the Gentile world. And now they were in Jerusalem, and they stirred up the people. They began to say to the Jewish people, "That's the man. He teaches everything contrary to the law of Moses and against us as people and against this holy place, for he has brought into this place a Gentile, and he has polluted this holy place." They had seen him in the street with a man by the name of Trophimus, a Greek, and they thought that he had brought him into the temple, but he had not. And they took hold of Paul, and they began to beat him and to smite him with their fist. They caused an uproar in the temple, and they pushed him out of the temple and shut the doors of the temple, and they were in the street. And they were beating this man Paul, and they would have beat him to death had not God from heaven had his eye upon him, for it was his servant. And God was going to take care for Paul. It was not yet the time for Paul to die. The Lord in his providence brought a message to the captain of the Roman soldiers in Jerusalem. And that whole Jerusalem was in an uproar. And he immediately sent a band of soldiers with centurions down to this particular place where they were beating Paul. And when they seen the soldiers coming and the captain, they immediately left off beating Paul. Or they would have beat him to death. These Jews, pious Jews, a man had polluted the temple because he had brought a Gentile into it. And what did they do in the temple? They were filled with murderous thoughts. All they had in their hearts to kill this man, Paul, right in the temple. My hearers, we never know what people's thoughts are when we are even in the temple. We can't read each other's thoughts. Or some people, they become so angry under the truth. And some people, they think that the teacher or the preacher is just meaning them. And could you read their thoughts and read their hearts, you would see murder there. Yea, we don't know what goes on in the minds and in the hearts of the hearers, even in the temple. What a blessing when our heart is going out unto the living God. For that is why we have a temple. That is why we come up to worship. We do not come up to condemn each other, to criticize each other, and to have such thoughts of each other that would lead even to murder. This man, Paul, then, he was taken prisoner by the Jews, but the Romans came and rescued him. And they took him, and the Jewish people followed after him. Oh, the one cried this and the one cried that. And this Roman captain, he didn't know what they were saying. He didn't know why they had Paul or why they were beating him. And he was carrying him into the castle with all the Jews behind him. Oh, they wanted to get at him. But we find that Paul, he speaks unto the captain in the Greek tongue. And this captain, he was so surprised to hear Paul speak Greek. Are you a Greek? He says, I thought you was that Egyptian, he says, that led out 4,000 men into the wilderness, all murderers. No, Paul says, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus, he says, out of Sicily. Will you give me permission to speak unto the people? And when he heard this, the captain gave him permission to speak. And Paul stood on the stairs, and he raised his hand to speak unto the Jewish people. He began to make his defense to them. For this, we will speak about, the Lord willing, next week. Our time is gone. Paul's defense to the Jewish people.